change in our lives, Father. Cause us to be more dependent upon you, Lord. And we thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Thank you, worship team, for bringing the presence of God. Don't they do a great job? Amen. Give them a hand. All right, we're going to get right into it. Psalm 91. If you want to take notes, you got some lines on the back of your bulletin. Today we're going to be finishing the series called Secrets. Today's part four, and we're zeroing in on the secret of refuge. The secret of refuge. And so our last time together, we talked about and we dealt with the strongholds that all of us have in our lives. Everybody breathing on planet Earth has a stronghold of some nature, some form within their lives, okay? And God wants to bring you into the secret place to sometimes deal with those strongholds, but also that he wants to show himself strong in your life. How many want God to show up and show off in your life? Okay, we got 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, there we go. All right. And so we defined what a stronghold was. A stronghold is a well-fortified place, a place that sets up a fortress against God is what it is, okay? And so we discussed how our flesh, our mind, will, and emotions can oppose or even be at war with the things of God. Paul, by the way, he struggled with the same flesh that you and I struggle with, okay? And we talked about that. Sometimes, how many know that your mind, your will, and emotions, you're just trucking with God, and all of a sudden it just goes sideways, okay? And that happens to all of us because God understands we're still human. Your flesh didn't get saved. Your mind didn't get saved. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Your spirit's the thing that gets saved, okay? And so it's your spirit, man, that needs to rise up and take control. Someone say amen. And so Paul gives us steps. We don't have time to go back into it, but Paul gives us steps in Romans 7 and Romans chapter 8 on how to gain victory over those strongholds. And I said last time that our flesh, our mind, will, and emotions is an outlaw. It's opposed to the things of God. And the only way to deal with that is to get regularly or daily into the secret place of God. The secret place of refuge. And last time we talked about the secret place of choosing. How many remember that? And I left you three things to choose briefly. Number one, choose. If you anybody here want to get radical with God? Listen, I'm going to challenge you, and Pastor Tommy challenged you just like the devil challenges you every day. So, Just get ready for the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life, okay? It's a daily process. And so the first thing we need to choose is to say yes. Yes to him and no to your flesh. Choose. Say, you got to wake up every day. You got to force the spirit man inside you. The born-again spirit man has to force your flesh, your mind, will, and emotions to say yes to get into that secret place with God. That's the first thing you got to choose. The second thing is you got to choose. In fact, when you do choose to say yes, you're saying, God, you don't have to drag me in here. I want to come freely of my own volition, right? Yeah. In fact, Psalm 38 says, don't be like the mule. Okay, you remember I gave you that illustration. How many remember last year at VBS, Wild West Days, right? Everybody got to ride on the horses out there. Well, there was one horse out there named Jack. Don't be Jack. It took us over an hour and a half to get him in that trailer because he didn't want to go. It took four of us, man, with boards, with treats. We were, come on, Jack, come on, come on. And sometimes your flesh can be just like Jack. God's sitting there, man, I'm waiting for you. But you're like, no, I'm too busy, God. I got this to deal with. I got that to deal with. I'll get to you later. You're never going to go anywhere with God with that kind of attitude. I'm just being real with you. And I'm being real with you because God has been real with me. And he showed me these things. The second thing we have to do is we have to choose to shut the door. Slam that door shut, baby. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, when you go to prayer, shut the door and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's waiting for you. He's looking for you to show up. And so when we shut the door, we shut out all the noise and busyness of the world, and we shut ourselves into the very presence of God, where he's waiting for you. He's not mad at you. If you blow it a couple times, you miss those times, just get back up. The Bible tells us we're the getting up people. When we fall down, we get back up by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the third thing I left you with is choose to listen. Matthew 13:9, Jesus cried out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And I love what Bob Sorge in his book, and I'll be referring to that in just a moment, but he said this, nothing changes when I talk. Things change when God talks to me. That's when things change. When I talk, nothing happens. When God talks, the universe comes into existence. You remember that song? Some of you are too young. But it went like this. You talk too much, you worry me to death. You talk too much, you're scaring my pet. You talk, talk, you talk too much. You know, there's scripture to back that up. Matthew 6:7, Jesus said, don't be like the religious folk coming in here, I'm just paraphrasing, yapping your gums, is what he's saying. You look it up, verse 7, don't be like the religious people coming in here yapping your gums because you got too many words, is what it says. See, when we're talking, God's not talking. Sometimes we just need to, oh man, there's something funny that Jill and I joke with. Okay, so it's just a joke. It's just, and it's okay because we get it, you know. And there's little, this gal, what are those called when you send the little things on your phone? The GIF emoji, or not just the emoji, little videos. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, so this is hilarious. There's this gal, she goes, shut up, shut up. Shut up, you know. And it's hilarious. When I saw that, man, I just cracked up. And you know what? That's sometimes the Holy Spirit saying, Mark, shut up. Listen to me. You see, when we're listening to God, in fact, Paul said in Romans 8:14, those who are the sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. How can we be led by God's Spirit if we're talking too much? Amen. Did you find Psalm 91? And so we're learning to listen, and here we go, part 4, the secret of refuge, Psalm 91, and I got my little illustrator here. I love this. This one's cool, man. Yeah. Look what it says there. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he who dwells, that word dwell means to camp out, to take up residence. Okay, we're not renting. Some of us, we rent space with God. Okay, God wants us to take up residence. He who dwells, he who has a habitation. Some of us want a visitation. I want a habitation. How about you? See, he who dwells, where? It says, he who dwells in the secret place. That's what we're talking about, the secret place of refuge. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, when I'm abiding with God, so Mary, wherever I go, guess what? The shadow of God is over the top of me. Amen. Why? Because I have what I call a God consciousness. Okay? Just like someone once said, you can pray 24/7. It's called breath prayers. Just acknowledging that, God, you're with me. You said you'd never leave me or forsake me. You're with me, God. So now some of us, this was Jill and I for 2.5 years. We said, you know what? We like it out here in the heat with all the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, the da-da, you know, all that lifestyle. Okay? We like it out. And guess what? Our life was crumbling. We were on the verge of divorce until we put ourselves back under. I'll talk about this in a few minutes, why it's so important. So the secret place in prayer, get this, is a place of refuge, a place of protection during the raging storms of life. And make no mistake about it, my friends, storms, trials, tests, temptations, tribulations will happen in your and my life from time to time. They're going to happen. John, go with me to John, the 16th chapter. John chapter 16, Jesus said in verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," everybody say in me. In me. Come on now, say in me. Listen, this is where it's happening. In me you may have peace. In the world, you will have, not maybe, not might, you will have tribulation. And that word tribulations is talking about pressures. It's talking about being oppressed. It's talking about stress and anguish and a squishing and a squeezing. Anybody experience any of that while you're walking with Jesus? Come on now, okay? And sometimes you're going to experience persecution. Persecution. I love what Pastor Tommy said a couple weeks ago. He said, when you decide to live all out for God, there will be attacks on your life. Get ready for it. Get ready. Toughen up. Turn to your neighbor, say, toughen up. Tell them that. And so we as pastors and teachers would not be doing our job and would be doing you an injustice and a disservice if we didn't tell you the truth about these things rather than just wanting to tickle your ears and get that attaboy. Oh, that was a wonderful message, Pastor. Wonderful. I have a friend of mine who does this. It's kind of abrupt. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Don't tell me it's a wonderful message. Just go out and do it. Amen. No, I didn't say that. Okay. But look at what I'm talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is what I'm talking about. Okay. We got to tell you the truth. We got to let you know. I mean, it's wonderful to hear messages that you're just all. And I pray even today that even I know this because I know my flesh all too well. I need to be jerked up a couple times. Okay, I need somebody. I remember the day I recommitted my life to Christ back October the 4th, because I went down to Fort Bend October the 3rd, went into orientation October the 4th, 1982. And a big old Sarge said to me, after I told him, I realized we were totally backslidden, I realized that he was a Christian sitting next to me, couldn't be a Christian, have a big old ring that said Jesus on it. I figured this guy had to be for real. So I said, "Are you a Christian?" He goes, he just looked at me, born again, tongue talking, fire breathing, Bible preaching. What other kind of Christian is there, Sarge? Just like that. I'm like, man, this guy's, you know, he's got it going on, right? And so I told him the truth and about my life. We were backslidden. We were on the verge of divorce. We were, you know, just all this. And he just looked at me and said, and he jerked me up, man, didn't physically, but he said, "You better get your right life, or your life right with God, Sarge. And you better do it now. And when you go back home," after he discipled me for 8 weeks, 2 months, every night, he said, "You better go home, put your hands to the plow in the kingdom of God, get involved in your church, because if you don't, I can't guarantee you, you're not going to make heaven. You're just going to be out there, you're going to go running with the crowd again." See, I was so glad that somebody told me the truth that just didn't entertain me. You know what I'm saying? Come on, let's. And there's nothing wrong with having fun in church. But when the fun's up here and a little bit of Jesus down there, something's wrong. Something's wrong. That's why our youth today, the youth today, got want nothing to do with church. My own grandson came home crying from his youth group because they made him feel like an outcast because he wouldn't get jiggy with the, what's that dance, the Macarena or something like that. It's some sexual dance in the youth group. They're having contests. And my grandson comes home crying because he was made to feel like the outsider. Are you kidding me? See, this is how the devil just, he slips in. Just a little bit of the world. Come on. Just a little bit, man. Come on, buddy. Come on, you can have a little bit. And we end up being like Jack the horse. And when God says, come, you're afraid to come. You're embarrassed. You're ashamed. I know the feeling. And that's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you therefore before God and before Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead and at his appearing. Now, people don't like to hear it. A lot of Christians don't want to hear that. Okay? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke. We don't like those words. Exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come, and we're living in that day right now. We've been for many decades here. The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but will according to their own desires. We want you to entertain us. We want you to tell us something good, man. Let me know I'm okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Right? They won't endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables, to stories. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions. In other words, right back to what Jesus said in John 16:33. You will have tribulation. There's going to be some days that are going to be tough. And that's why we're talking about the secret of refuge today. The secret of refuge. And so Pastor and I and some of the other teachers here in the church, we're training you and even our young people to just plain old toughen up. Toughen up. And where your real one-on-one training comes from is in the secret place of refuge. I love what Mark Batterson, write this book down, The Circle Maker. The Circle Maker. Mark Batterson, Pastor Batterson, we've been to one of his conferences, incredible young man of God that's doing unbelievable ministry work in Washington, D.C. They have, I believe, 9 campuses strategically located right. It's a ring. They drew a circle around the Capitol and the White House. They have 9 campuses that are completely surrounded Washington, D.C., praying campuses that are ministering Jesus to a lost world right in our Capitol. He said these words. How many want change in your life? Come on. I want to change, man. I want to be more like him. It doesn't mean I'm not going to have fun. I mean, my gosh, you should have saw us at the doctor's office the other day. We were laughing and joking and hugging with the doctor, with the nurse. We were having dealing with some potentially serious issues. But we're just, and the nurse, I'll tell you about that in a little bit. The nurse was like, I can't even believe you guys are here, man. And so it's not that we're anybody special, but look at, I don't even know why I said, oh, it's right here, yeah. I love this. He said, Mark Batterson said, go home, lock yourself in a room, secret place. Kneel down in the middle of your floor, and with a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself. There on your knees, pray fervently and brokenly that God would start a revival within that circle chalk. Within that circle chalk. This circle right here. Within my life. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and say, wow. Turn to your other, say it backwards, wow. So where does this take place? It takes place in the secret place of, here it is, refuge. Close myself in. It's not going to happen anywhere else. I did discuss with you, you can get the messages online. Secret place, it could be anywhere. It could be in your car, be out on your deck, be out at the lake, be out at the, it doesn't matter. It's closing yourself in the presence of God. I love what David said in Psalm 27, verse 5. He said, David cried out, he said, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion in the where? The secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me high upon a rock. Psalm 63, if you want to turn there with me. Psalm 63, man, we're going back and forth in Scripture today. Yee! All right. Anybody excited about this? I am. Praise God, I'm having fun up here. Psalm 63, here we find David out in the wilderness. And he says this, Psalm 63. He's running from King Saul. His life is being threatened. King Saul wants to kill him, but he says these words. Verse 1, O God, you are my God. See, David's making it personal. He got nobody else around him. He's saying, O God, you are my God. Early in the morning, I will seek you. My soul thirst for you. My flesh longs for you. Are you hearing the passion of this guy whose life is being threatened with death? He's saying, man, I want to be with you, God. I want to be in your presence, God. Nothing else matters. He says, in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Verse 3, because of your loving kindness, it's better than life. My lips, everybody say, my lips. My lips. That's my lips. So I'm not going to depend on Miss Allie here to get to come in like, you know, like a old car jack and come on, Pastor Mark, let's get you going here today. Come on, jack me up, you know, with words. No, my lips, not Allie's lips, my lips shall praise you, God. Thus I will bless you while I live. You're not going to have time. Well, you'll be doing it for eternity up there, but this is the only time while you're walking on planet Earth that you get to bless the Lord. And it can be anywhere in your job. It could be down at the VA, in the hospital, walking the hallways, man. Praise the Lord, man. You know, I'm not shouting it out like a freak down there, you know, telling people. We went by Bullhorn Guy's house the other day. Bullhorn Guy, he didn't have an actual bullhorn, but he might as well. He had a million... not a million, that's exaggeration, but probably about 20, maybe really, 20 of these posters on his front lawn. Wooden signs staked all over his front lawn. Turn and burn, you're going to hell, all these things. Just crazy. I call that guy Bullhorn Guy, man, because nobody's listening to Bullhorn Guy. Okay? Now we're not talking about that, but we're talking about the secret place of refuge. It could be while you're walking through the mall. Come on. Are you hearing me today? And so he goes on. He says in verse 4, thus I will bless you while I live. I lift up my hands. Everybody say my hands. In your name, my soul shall be satisfied as a marrow of fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Listen, the sanctuary for David wasn't in the tabernacle. When he's writing this, it wasn't at the church building. He found the secret place of refuge in a cave. He was in a cave. And guess who was in the cave with him? The very presence of God. He didn't have to wait to come to church on Sunday. He could experience it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Amen. He was right there. This is where David could find shelter and protection from and peace from the onslaught of the enemy, from the storms of life, while they're still raging. He's praising the Lord. And it's a place where we inwardly, here it is, we inwardly gain strength, and where we are stilled in the midst of battles, in the midst of struggles that seemingly won't quit. Don't quit, my friends. I don't care what's going on in your life. Do not quit. Keep pursuing him. And I love what Bob says. Oh, man, we're going to get into something right now. Turn to your neighbor, say something, something. Something, something. Listen to what Bob says about this. This is incredible. Okay, just indulge me here for a minute. Okay, listen to this. The secret place is like in the eye of the storm. While all is storming about us, we find an inner sanctuary of rest and peace. There's something of a paradox here because we are experiencing both storm and peace simultaneously. when we retreat to the secret place, the storm doesn't stop. In fact, sometimes it seems that when we run into the Lord for help, the storm escalates in intensity. Anybody witness with that? Sometimes it just goes more, like, what in the world? And so he says, this deserves some comment. And he goes on, he says, while the place of prayer is a place of immunity, it is also one of Satan's favorite places to attack the devout. When seeking to destroy Daniel, the only chink his enemies could find with his armor was Daniel's prayer life. So they attacked him in the place of prayer. The only way Judas knew to hand Jesus over to the chief priest was by betraying him, where? In the place of prayer. So the secret place is both a place of sanctuary and also a place of the enemy's strategic attacks. The assurance to the believer, however, is that when he is attacked in the place of prayer, the Father is exercising sovereign jurisdiction over the entire affair. And you need to get a hold of this, lock this down in your spirit. Nothing can happen to you in the secret place that he doesn't specifically allow for his higher purposes. You are totally immune from anything outside of his will. Paul said this in Romans 12:12. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in tribulation and keep on praying. Keep on seeking. This past week, Jill and I, we went into this appointment and the nurse said, come on in, just like this. Come on in, step on the scale. And I'm like, oh boy, here's Sally Sauer here. Okay, what's going on in Sally's life here? Sour Sally. You know, Jill didn't pick that up. I did. She thought, well, man, there's an opportunity. And so long story short, we begin to tell her about what Jesus, just begin to brag on Jesus, you know. And we said, why are you guys so joyful? And we're laughing. We're goofing around with her. And she ran. I said, before you go get Dr. Robinson, we want to pray with you. She said, okay, just a minute. She ran down and saw Dr. Robinson. These folks want to pray with me. I'll be right back. And she went, and Dr. Robinson, praise God's a Christian. He goes, okay, Chatty Cathy, go for it, you know. And so we prayed for her real quick. And so after the appointment, we're coming out, we're checking out. She goes, secret place. I went, what? She goes, secret place. I went on the website, and I'm listening to Secret Place. In 10 minutes, man, she went right in there. She says, I'm going to try to come visit you guys. So I'm like, wow, praise God, man. Listen, don't quit. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't quit. And so when we purposely enter into that secret place of refuge, I'm going to leave with you three things. Expect three things from God. Here it is. Number one, expect God to meet you while the storms potentially continue to rage about you. Expect God to meet you. I need some volunteers. Oh, thank you. Charles and your sons, come on up here. I see your hands went up so fast, I almost didn't see it. Come on up here. Okay. All right. Jeff, you're God. I'm me, okay? All I want you guys to do is surround me, okay? Get around me and just start screaming at me. I don't care what you say, just don't cuss, amen. No. Come on, just start yelling at me. Just yelling. Yeah, come on. Lord, I need you. Come here, Lord. God, come. Come on, you gotta be louder than that. Loud. Yeah. No, Lord. I just look to you, God. I'm looking to you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you for you with me, God. You're my rear guard. I thank you for it. Okay, listen. All of storms is raging around me, and I'm in the secret place with the Father. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like in your life, in my life. It's not a time to say, oh, I'll bail out, because guess what? Those voices are coming with me, and I left God's presence. Doesn't mean I lose my salvation. You guys can sit down. Thank you. Give those guys a big hand. Amen. Expect God to show up. We don't have time to turn there. But guys, listen. In Acts chapter 4, when the disciples went to meet with God in prayer, the threats of the enemy kept coming at them. They're like, we want to get rid of these guys, man. We're going to. And so they went to God in the place of prayer. They sought him. They looked for him. And they said, now God, look at their threats. And what did God do? He showed up and showed off in their life in the midst of the attacks. He poured out his spirit upon them. They left that room with boldness and confidence, even though the attacks still kept on coming. So number one, expect God to show, to meet with you in the midst of storms. Okay. Number two, as Bob points out in his book here, nothing can happen to you in the secret place that doesn't specifically allow for his higher purposes. Do you know the way we're looking at this? And maybe this will help someone today. You're going through storms of struggle and you're wondering, what's going on? God, is there someone or something, or maybe it's me you want to speak to, but maybe there's someone in this situation that you want to use me to speak to. I can't tell you how many times we've been at a doctor's appointment or even at a restaurant. You know, why did we show up? Remember, Miss, what was her name last week, honey? We stopped in last Wednesday, I think it was, over in Southfield at a restaurant. Well, anyways, we were praying for this young lady, you know, and we're realizing now many of the places we're ending up, there's someone there that needs Jesus. There's someone in your world that needs Jesus, right? So begin to look at, turn the tables on the devil. Turn that cat and stroke it a different direction, right? There's someone that God wants to use. He wants to use you in the situation that you're in potentially the storm that you're in. He wants to use you. And so when you begin to look at it from a higher purpose, man, I'll tell you what, when we left Dr. Robinson's office, we were like, praise God, man. We were like, yeah, man, the devil just got his butt whooped, man. It was just awesome. And then number three, this is critical. Don't expect that the secret place of refuge automatically erects itself around you. You and I have to run to it. It's just not going to show up. We have to run to it. Proverbs 18, write this down. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it. Not from it, they run to it and are safe. They're safe. Don't expect that the secret place of refuge, that God's just going to show up and surprise. No, you and I have to pursue it. We have to run to it. And I'll close with this scripture here, Hebrews, the sixth chapter. Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, this is so good. Verse 18 says this, that by two immutable, unchanging things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that's set before us. Verse 19. This hope we have is an anchor for the soul. Did you hear that? I have to run into. He's not going to run to me. I have to run into. Why? Because it promises here, he's an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, the secret place. I have to run to it. You have to run to it. Sometimes in my life, I wonder, why aren't things happening? How much time, and I begin to ask, how much time I've been spending with God? See, I said this before, revival out there is not going to happen. We're praying for revival until it happens right here. It's got to happen in me. It's got to happen. I'm the one that has to get in, shut the door, get a piece of chalk, draw a circle around myself, and say, Lord, let it happen. Come on. Come on. God, let your power invade this vessel. Let your power drive out anything that's displeasing to you. And guess what I can tell you? Because all of us are like this. We're humans. God understands this. We're like this. The waves of the sea sometimes. We are. But we're going back to the anchor of our soul, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your patience with us. your great patience, Lord. But Lord, you're calling us to a new place, a place that's intimate, a place that's real, a place that is transparent, where you want us to be real with you. And Lord, we know that when we become real with you, we can rip the facade off. We don't have to be posers. We can take the facade off by the power of your Spirit. And, you know, if people come to us and say, man, something's happened with you, or you're not the same, or you still do this or do that. Yep, I'm a work in progress. God, you're working on me. How many want to find yourself in that place? God, you're working on me. Can I pray for you today, Father? Lord, thank you. See our hands today, God. Come on, let them see your hand. Lord, see our hands, all of us. God, you're doing a work only that you can do. God, I can't do this myself. I can't depend on anybody else. It's good to have brothers and sisters around to encourage me, but I'm the one. I'm the one. Mark's the one. I'm the one that needs to run into that secret place with you, God. Lord, may you find us there daily, Lord. We recommit ourselves, God, to that deep and intimate personal walk. And we thank you, God, for being compassionate. We thank you, God, for being understanding with us. But, Lord, you don't want us to stay where we were. You want us to bring us to a new level. And so, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today. He deserves it. We just need to just learn to get out of the way. Get out of the way, Mark. Let God do his thing. Amen. Listen, go.